You're listening to Radio Primavera Sound, proudly presented by Cupra.
Hello and welcome once again to Line Noise. And it is an absolute pleasure to introduce Silvia Jimenez Alvarez.
Yes.
Better known as Jazz. How are you doing?
I'm really good with this sunny day. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. I'm good. It is a beautifully sunny day.
Actually. It is a beautiful sunny day, yeah.
First of all, you are DJing tonight. I mean, it will have passed by the time this goes out, but you are DJing tonight at a very special event at Nizza. What is it?
We're honoring Perla, Joven de la Perla, which sadly passed away, but we really love her. So we're going to do a party in her memory, which she would absolutely love, I think. We're a lot of friends playing. I will be playing with Mauro, DJ Saliva, and Bernice, Vera. Yeah, I'm really excited. I think it's going to be emotional and beautiful.
It's a really big lineup. I was looking at it.
It's like everybody's there. Yeah, we all came.
So in September, you've got a new album coming out, Eager Buyers.
Yeah.
How do you think it advances your sound from A World of Service?
I don't know. I think it's just different. Actually, in terms of sound, it's a little bit of a rewind. Not really, but it is. I don't know how to explain it. It's a bit more... I don't know how to explain it, really. It's just a complete different land that I guess like I was drinking a little bit more from remembering myself in the past in a different way. Like I was just like hit. Do you know when you suddenly have a feeling that is really, really intense, and then you realize that the last time you had that feeling was like very long ago, and you just like are like in a moment that was like, I don't know, 10 years ago or something? That's kind of the vibe of like being inside of like remembering something or something.
I think when you were pressed to describe it, which is something a lot of artists don't like to do, but you called it masterfully produced post-punk, post-rock, baroque, gothy, dubby, trip-hop.
Full disclosure, I did not say masterfully produce, but yeah, it's like it's a lot of things. I think I am very, very bad at describing my own music or other people's music because my references are a little bit like not really musical or not really based on genres. They're like, I don't know, like associations that I have or imagery. Yeah.
Well, again, a lot of artists don't really like being compared to other artists, but there were two. I've heard the single from the album. Yeah. It's great. There were two particular artists it sort of reminded me of that I wanted to run past you to see what you think. You might totally disagree, but one was Massive Attack.
Okay.
And one was Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah, I mean, there are two bands that I cannot, even whether I make a conscious effort to escape, I just listen to them a lot when I was a teenager. So I guess that when you listen to something so much during such a formative time of your life, you just spend the rest of your life trying to escape that, basically. And I don't know, in this particular record, I was not trying to escape anything, to be honest. So maybe the references are more obvious. Although I have to say that I was not trying to go there, like either to Massive Attack or to Nine Inch Nails. But like if you say that it reminds you of that, I can see why.
I mean, you said you weren't trying to escape anything on this record. That begs the question, probably quite annoyingly. Were you trying to escape something on other records you've done?
I was unsuccessfully trying to escape something in other records, yes. I was like trying to escape from... I was trying to be more bold sometimes, or sometimes I was trying not to be pretentious in a certain way that I was in the past. You know what I mean? Like you're like whether you make this or that decision, there's something that you're aiming for and something that you are escaping from, whether you understand it or not. It's something and it's not something. I don't know what to... I am not in my best verbal day apparently today. But do you know what I mean?
I think so, because A World of Service was very much not what people were expecting from you, which is great. I think that's really great. And I wondered if that was, I wouldn't necessarily use the word escaping, but if that was like an attempt to be like, okay, people want banging techno. Here's, I don't know, avant-garde pop, avant-garde electronic pop.
You see, like being aware of what people want from you is a horrible thing and a very useful tool for some people. But depending on how sensitive you are, it can be a really horrible thing for in the creative process. And in the case of A World of Service, I was actively trying to escape some mannerisms in the studio. Also, it was in the middle of COVID.
Mm.
So it was it was like perfect to do that because I was actually isolated and not so much like infused with what the market was. Or like, you know, it was like a really weird moment. And now it's kind of, I'm just like, I just went with this record, you know? Yeah.
What were people very surprised by it?
By which one? By the one before?
By World of Service, yeah.
Yeah.
What was the general reaction like?
I don't think they understood it or like they were particularly into it. Because again, I don't think that's what people wanted from me. And that's fair, I can see that.
I think a lot of people enjoyed it.
I know a lot of people enjoyed it. But you asked me what was the general impression.
Right.
Yeah. That's fine, though.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah.
Do you like being unpredictable?
When I find it a trait that I appreciate in other people most of the time,
mm-hmm.
I don't intend to be unpredictable. And I don't find a special joy in being found unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't think so much about it.
One thing which carries on from that album is your voice.
Yeah.
Again, why did you decide to use your voice so much? It's a very nice voice, but again, it's like not what I was expecting.
Because I have a different relationship to my voice than you have. Like for me, it's been always there. It's been always like a tool that I've used like in the studio. And it's been my whole life I have used my voice for, not that I'm like a trained singer or that I've been like singing professionally in places, but it's just like any other thing. Like the synths were there, the groove boxes and the drum machines were there, the strings, the guitar, the bass were there, and the drums were there. The voice was also always there. So for me, it's not so unpredictable. For me, something very... Actually, like, the first Mannequin record that I released, which was a long time ago, had my voice on it, and the single had my voice on it, you know? So for me, that voice has been always there. For me, it's not such a shocking thing or something, you know?
Right,
it's not
right.
Like, oh, now I'm going to sing and like whatever. No. I mean, yeah, it's true. Maybe this is a more formatted version of my voice and less of a jam. But I always had it there.
I always think it's very interesting because for me, the voice is such an incredibly personal thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like directly... You know, there's no interface. It's just, well, all right, there's a microphone, but you know what I mean.
There's an intention. You can hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, the more intentional you are, the more you can hear it. And when you're not, when you're afraid, you can also hear it. Like, it's very, very a vulnerable place to be. Yeah.
How do you record vocals?
You mean, what's my chain or what?
Well, no, like, do you like to be in a particular place or do you like, I mean, you know, do you have to be in a particular mood or like physically do you have to isolate yourself or is it just like, well, in the studio and I'll record them?
I just recorded in my studio.
Hmm.
Yeah, I never went to someone's studio to record voices either. And I don't particularly think about the technique so much. Like I don't get in my head about it. Sometimes I do like a take that doesn't have lyrics and it sound, there's like a certain musicality to it. And then the lyrics would probably follow that musicality because the chords or like whatever is happening is already a dialogue with something that doesn't have words. So words come second for most of the time for what I do. And I just oftentimes the best take is the first. And it's the one that doesn't have lyrics. And therefore, everything that has lyrics always sounds worse to me. So if it would be for me, it would be na-na-na-na-na-na. All my songs would be like that. But I just like, I don't know, I use like a Neumann, yes, to do like the thing or like, I don't know. But in general, I'm not so picky, I'm not so technical. Yeah.
Going back to the new album, Eager Buyers.
Yeah.
It's a great name. Where does it come from, the name? Or I mean, what are you trying to convey with it, I suppose?
With Eager Buyers?
Yeah.
I think it's pretty self-explanatory. It's literally like... It's almost like the definition of a human being right now. It's an eager buyer. It's almost like existing is related to buy and to consume in general. I mean, buying is like the ultimate format of consuming, or like this action that leads to consume, or it's very like linked to this action. And I feel like consuming has replaced many other activities right now.
The way we as humans are defined as consumers, right?
Yeah, and how consuming, like listening to music is not the same as consuming music, right? Well, that's what I mean. That happens with a lot of different things, like this accumulative tendency. That's the eager point of buying, to have more and to accumulate. And also parallel to that, the scarcity of things and the fear of scarcity and stuff. Yeah. But it's really abstract. It just like came like eager buyers. Yeah.
It's a good name.
Thanks.
I was wondering, and again, this might be sort of reading too much into it, if the record is like a comment on capitalism.
Basically. It is. Sort of. Without making a full statement, because I am verbally suited to talk about it, but like not as well as most of the people I listen to and or I read are, you know. So it's like my own way of like kind of coming to terms with it or commenting on it without being super explicit about it. It's just like a mood or something.
Again, I was reading the sort of introduction to the album. And it talks about the dream of capitalism throughout the 90s and 2000. We had capitalist hopes from the 80s and 90s drummed into them.
Mm-hmm.
What effect do you think that had?
Well, I think talking about I'm going to talk about a very specific range of the population, which is like middle class, I'm thinking about a certain type of middle class person, right? Or at least the way I grew up, which was less of a middle class, like a lower middle class, like working class background. There were like this sense of like hope and the possibility of like thriving and like getting better than your parents. Your parents had that hope too. And it was coming from like, it's like a... you get that from your parents, actually. It's hereditary, like their optimism or the vision that they have of the world and whatever, no? So everything was very linked to this idea of progress, of going to a brighter future that was, again, really linked to consume and to acquiring more and, like, the idea of the family in a very traditional way. I don't know, like this... I think this all was creating a sense of sensibility. I never know which one is which to talk about this.
I think sensitivity.
Yeah. To like, or like a certain sense of like romance or romantic idea of what success is.
Right.
That is completely unattainable for most of the people right now. You know, everything is like this romantic vision, this romance was first of all completely toxic if you're not like a white straight male. And it's just like completely false. But still, that has a lot of impact in the way you form your ideas or your way of dreaming, you know, which is a really fragile point for humans, because the way you dream or the way you fantasize forms so many other things. It's like your happy place, you know. So I feel like coming from the 80s and the 90s and then have it collapse, again, I would like to be more articulate about this, but it was just completely false. And I feel like we're just living the collapse of all that. So you have like a bunch of middle class people being very surprised in the case of my parents' age or my age even, you know, that I'm in my 30s. It's kind of like being really surprised about it, like how come this is crumbling, because also now, like, also the difference between like having so much information right now and everybody having access and everybody being informed, or just like being at least like trying to digest so much information about the world, and that having a forming a completely different impression of the world that our parents had, and therefore that was transmitted to us. So that's like a huge difference, and there's a little bit of a heartbreak of that. Not that, that was never attainable in the first place, you know?
Mm.
But yeah, we got scammed, basically. That's, yeah.
What is success for you?
Being able to do what you want for as long as you want and have like a decent, having a decent life that doesn't, you know, not having to struggle for housing, for food, for not having to live like constantly in a struggle to survive, basically, and being able to do what you want. That's an incredible, everything sounds like a privilege every day a little bit more, but yeah, basically living without the necessity, that's what success.
Which is something you have achieved, right?
Yeah, but don't you feel like right now everything feels like nothing's permanent?
I suppose I have two children, and that gives more of a sense of permanence for me, because I totally agree with what you're saying, but but at the same time, I think when you have children, you sort of have to live like looking more, you know, 20 years into the future, because otherwise, you know, you couldn't do it, could you? You know.
Yeah.
And also, I think they give some kind of hope, you know, I hope so.
I mean, I'm sorry that I'm sounding so...
No.
I do have hope in other people, definitely. I can see like the difference, like I can see how people reach out to each other and they create community. They become more aware of other people's realities and do something about that. That's amazing. You know, I see a lot of like social change in that regard, and I'm hopeful in that regard.
Well, I think in a way, in we talked earlier about what the event you're playing tonight, that's quite hopeful. That's a kind of community, right? A community
that's coming. Really beautiful, yeah. To see people showing, like, yeah, things that are respecting something more deep or something, yeah.
You're from Asturias, right?
I am.
Originally. Mm-hmm. Did that... honestly, that's not a part of the world I know as well as I should do. Mm-hmm. Did that really influence your music?
I think so. I think so, yeah. There was like, when I was a kid, there was like a lot of different scenes in Asturias. There was quite a lot of techno. There was a few clubs that were pretty solid. A lot of people were DJs, actually. Vinyl was a thing. A lot of people were very informed about music. There was a lot of punk, there was a lot of hardcore, a lot of rock. There still is, but I just don't live there anymore. And I don't think there are many places where you can play.
Right. You haven't played there recently, or?
No.
Okay. The new album will be the first release on AWOS.
AWOS, yes.
AWOS, okay. I didn't know if I should... What is AWOS?
AWOS is a new platform /label/ output for anything I do, and I collaborate with other people that I like, basically. It's like a platform for, I don't know, things to happen, basically. I feel like I'm at a point where I can allow myself to explore that and to host something with other people after being hosted by so many others before. So now I want to choose, basically. I like to invite people in and then have an outcome out of that.
Musical AV and art collaborations, live events, and a radio show is
one. Yeah, it was a World of Service, which is the acronym. It was a radio show I had in Berlin Community Radio, and it's the live show that we do. It's an AV show that Ben Krognet and I do, and it's now the label. It was the album as well, and now it's the label.
Right.
And it's just, it has the same name, and it will continue to have the same name in the case of the AV show, for example, because of this idea of like continuity and change being kind of the same thing and being able to coexist, basically.
Going back to the new album, Eager Buyers, yeah. We talked a little bit about how you were sort of referencing the music that you listened to
yeah.
when you were young. At the same time, I think I read that it was a kind of anti-nostalgia record.
Yeah.
How do those two things kind of balance, if you see what I mean?
Yeah, one comes before the other. Mm-hmm. First you listen to whatever and you have all these feelings, and then you don't allow yourself to fall into the nostalgic, sentimental bit. And then but you can still enjoy it. It's that exercise of like not falling, because I feel like the nostalgia is the path to that place that we were talking about before, of these like broken dreams and everything is like, you know, like nothing was true. And now I'm left with this empty, like, which kind of like, what's the color of my life now then, you know? It's a name to like listen to things in a, like a deep way, but not in a sentimental way.
I'm guessing you're not a nostalgic person.
I am.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, yeah.
Me too. My wife says I'm far too nostalgic. What kind of things make you sound? For me, it's probably early 90s music that does it for me. That's like my my Proust Madeleine. What about for you?
I have so many. I mean, it's like a type of sound. There's like different types of sound that doesn't matter in which context they are put, it hits, and you're just like, and you feel the thing. I think like 90s music in general, yes. Early 2000, yes. Early 2000 dance music, which is like very popular and redone now in various formats, is really cheesy, very emotional, very over the top, very atmospheric and like incredibly, emotional. I have a sweet spot for that as well. Like it really, when people are cringing, I'm loving it most of the times. And it has to do with this like nostalgia of like me listening really quietly in my room when I was, I don't know, like in puberty to this Annual, the album, which was a compilation of like really tacky stuff, but it's amazing actually, because tacky is amazing. So,
can I ask for a specific song?
Actually not, because I don't remember the names of these songs. I don't remember the names of songs in general.
Right. The Ministry of Sound annuals, was that it? I remember them. Yeah, the sort of greatest hits of the year. So there's a lot of talk about like 2000s revivals and things like that. How do you feel? Because you're that's obviously not what you're doing, but you do love.
I love that.
The 2000s. Do you feel? Yeah. How do you feel when people do that?
I'm interested. I mean, I listen to it and then it's just like a craft, you know, like I don't know what they are thinking when they produce it, if they just take it because they just found it and that's for them their sound. I feel like there's always some type of revival going on, because you always, when you make it, you always drink from somewhere. So you're the revivalist, even if you transform it into something else. Maybe it doesn't become like a revival for the rest of the people listening to it, but in your mind it is. Because you know where it comes from. But I don't oppose it. It can get tiring when it becomes flat and everything becomes like oversaturated with the same sound. But I think I'm okay with that. I feel like there's a lot of people. I recently listened to this band that is like absolutely revival of a sound that was in the early 2000s, I would say, even though I'm like, yeah, I'm really bad at this. It's called After.
After?
I think it's After.
Doesn't ring a bell.
I am obsessed.
Kind of what kind of music do they make?
Is this indie guitar, happy, whatever?
Okay, yeah, there's a band called After the Band. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
After is the atmospheric Y2K trip-hop pop band you needed because you heard it in a dream one time. Wow. I've never heard them. Okay.
They have a song called Something Special, I think. I've been listening to that song so much. And they have another one as well that I can't remember the name. But after something special. It's really like you really feel like you've heard it before, but it's really it. I love it. I absolutely love it.
So for my sins, I've never seen you DJ.
Yeah,
that's gonna change next weekend. But I've never seen you DJ. Uh-huh. Do you ever sort of worry or think about the gap between the music you make and the music you DJ? Because I'm assuming, and maybe I'm assuming wrongly, mm-hmm. that you don't. There's quite a big difference between, for example, you know, the music on the World of Service and the music you DJ. Is that right?
Yeah.
How do you see, like, do you ever sort of like worry about that gap? It's like that there's kind of two versions of you, or people going to, you know, turn up expecting to hear.
I don't think that happens. I feel like I've been DJing for a while, and I've been able to have that to separate it somehow. Right. Like I think people have the capacity to take that. Like a person has like multiple sounds or like sound registers, or like this is the thing that you play. Because also I DJ also in situations which is not like make me dance kind of situation. It's more of a listening thing. And that's like pretty similar to what I actually do, or like the sound palette that I like to generate or like work with. So when it's dance music, for me it's all the same, to be honest. It's a question of intensity. Doesn't matter if their register is different. For me there's no such a different, I feel like in like it's deeper than everything, you know? So I don't think that also like I don't think that people expect that much from me, which is amazing. In the sense of like I'm pretty free to do whatever I want. And they are mostly there.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing that next weekend.
Yes.
In Among the Park, possibly Forest, we will see of Cordonnier. Yeah. It's going to be quite something. Congratulations again on the new single. I can't congratulate on the album because I haven't heard it, but I'm sure it'll be very good. Jazz, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
I'm just going to say it's the Last Line Noise of the season. The last episode we're recording in the studio. I've got to give a quick thanks to Sennheiser for these microphones, which the audio is doing a lot cleaner. And in my opinion, they look pretty nice too. So thanks to them for making this happen. Thanks from us, and thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a lovely day.